The eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello and welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. You're listening to podcast episode number 66, recorded on February 14th of 2007. Well, today's podcast has a mixture of both history and basketball. For those of you that listen to the podcast often or may look at the blog, you may know that I am a basketball coach. I just completed my 15th year as a coach in some capacity, and today's episode is going to focus on a very special team that intersected with history. The principal at the school where I currently teach at South Valley Junior High is Brad Armstrong, and Brad Armstrong's father was a member of the 1966 Texas Western team. For those of you that are basketball fans, that is a very famous basketball team because they recently made a movie about it, Glory Road. And that team was significant because they won the NCAA National Championship in 1966, and they were the first NCAA men's championship team to start 5 African-American players. And Mr. Armstrong, Jerry Armstrong, Brad's father, was one of the white members of that team, and he does a lot of public speaking right now talking about his experiences as a part of that team and some of the things that happened to them and what it really means today as far as historical importance. And he recently spoke to our school at South Valley Junior High and then did a presentation in Liberty at the Garrison Center as an activity for Black History Month. And so what I recorded was basically his presentation, about 25 minutes, talks a little bit about his growing up and his experiences being on that team. And then the second podcast, podcast number 67 to follow, is going to be the question and answer session that he had after his presentation. So here is Jerry Armstrong of the 1966 Texas Western team, which is now featured on the movie Glory Road.
I'm going to ask Brad Armstrong. He is the principal at South Valley Junior High School. To introduce his father. I think you told me you've been here in Liberty 10 years?
It's my 11th.
11th year. I've seen a look on Brad's face that it's worth far more than $1 million. There's no price you could put on it. To watch him watch his father and how proud he was to hear his father deliver, share with students at this junior high school. I captured that look on Brad's face. I mean, it's a treasure that I'll carry from now on. When I see Brad, I'll always think of Jerry. And with no further ado, we're going to move forward, and Brad is going to introduce his father, Jerry Armstrong. Please give him a round of applause.
Well, I just want to say thank you to AJ and the group for bringing my dad up here today. It's been a treat for us, too, because gave us an excuse to get him up from South Missouri and spend some time with my children. And my mom is with my son right now, enjoying some time together. And so we like that. It's a good excuse. As AJ said, my dad spoke today at my school, and that was a very special special pleasure for us. And about 600 students that attend my school received the message today. Kind of the connection to this area and why I live kind of in this area is my father graduated from North Harrison High School in Eagleville, Missouri back in the 60s, and grew up on a farm up in that area. He'll tell you more about that, but and then went to Texas El Paso to college, and if you've seen the movie Glory Road, then you know how the rest of the story goes. They went on to win the national championship in 1966. And the significance of it was that they broke the race barrier at the time by having 5 African-American starters in the championship game. At that time, I don't think they realized the significance of it even then. Only 40 years later has it the real impact been felt. And I'm just very proud that my father was a part of making history. He's going to share a little bit of that with you tonight, and so help me welcome my dad, Jerry Armstrong.
Thank you, Dr. Armstrong.
I'm very proud of him and what he's done also. Thank you, Mr. Burke, for having me. It's a great honor to be here to talk to you people and share my experiences that had a lot of bad experiences and yet a lot of good experiences that did happen. Great experiences right sitting over here. I travel everywhere and I run into somebody all the time that I know. Oh, a high school buddy of mine, Jim Easton. Stand up, Jim! Him and I play ball together. He was a year ahead. He's older than I am. we had a lot of good memories, and his wife's with him. Another lady from Ridgeway, which is right next door. Where you at? There you is. That's true. I grew up on a farm up northwest Missouri, about 5 miles from Iowa line. There's 28 in my graduating class. Amazing, huh? Why I went to El Paso, I don't know. I flew down for a visit. I liked the school. I liked the people I met. So I decided to go there. I had several other opportunities to go to some larger Division I schools. But I talked to my high school coach, and he said, Jerry, he says, you can go to the big Division I if you want. I had a chance to go to University of Maryland, Memphis State, and some others. But he says, you can go to Texas Western, and you might be a big fish there, where you'll be a little fish in those bigger schools. And I thought, well, I want to be a big fish. So I decided that's where I was going to go. Little to know that you had to be a big fish down there to play. But I was brought up. My mother and father taught me respect. And I'm so thankful for that. Because they taught me to respect my peers, people for who they are, not what they are. Because when I went to school, there was no color to me. I was just a young athlete, young student like they were. And we all had one common goal, and that was to make the basketball team and do the best we could. And that was our goal. But when I first went down there, Coach Haskins, it was his second year there. I went there 62 through 66. He was there 1 year prior to my coming. The movie, how many of you saw the movie? Several of you. The ones that didn't may get the corners of it. I may leave a little bit out. But the movie, way it depicted, it was all 1 year recruiting, and that's not so. The recruiting happened over a 5 year period. Coach Haskins saw no color. When he was raised, a lot like I was, poor, had plenty of food, but you took your clothes off, school clothes off, and you hung them up so you could have them wear the next day. We had a lot of hard work on the farm, but I wouldn't have traded my childhood for anybody's because I worked on the farm. Outside of that, I got to fish, hunt, play ball, baseball, played everything. Daddy had quit in the middle of the field to take me to baseball practice. We had come from a very athletic family. There's 5 of us boys, and all 5 of us played sports. But when I got there to El Paso then, Coach Haskins started bringing in the best athletes that he could get into school. He didn't care whether they were black or white. Because he also, when he went to high school, he played basketball. And then in the summers, he worked with a guy at a food plant, and where they carried food sacks and what have you. He happened to be black. And they would play in the barnyard there somewhere against each other all the time. Well, when Haskins graduated, he went to Oklahoma A&M and played for Hank Iva. Well, he wanted his buddy to go with him. They wouldn't take him because he was black. He said he was a much better athlete than he ever was. I could see that. No, but ever since then, you know, Coach, he brought the best athletes he could. You take El Paso, Texas. There's not a whole lot of high school white All-Americans don't want to go to El Paso, Texas. They go to Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri. I'm going to leave Missouri out. But they don't just go down there. It's a border town. But a lot of the blacks didn't have the opportunity to go to the Division I schools because they were limited, because they weren't allowed to attend those schools for some reason. Especially in the Southeast, SEC, ACC, all those conferences in the South, there weren't any blacks on those schools. Now there were a few in Kansas, JoJo White, Walt Wesley, Lou Alcindor out at UCLA at the time. There was a few out that way, but you only have one or two, maybe three at the most. And the old saying goes, you know, at home you play one, on the road you play two. If you're getting beat, maybe you play three and get away with it. That's basically the truth. That's what the motto was. After Coach got through recruiting, my senior year, we had seven blacks, four whites, and one Hispanic on our team. We all never saw color, black or white. We were a team. We had team chemistry. If there would have been racial issues on our team, we would have never won the NCAA tournament. You wouldn't have done that. There can't be friction. Can't be friction in your business. There can't be friction out on the court if you're going to be successful. You know that. So the only first thing that when I got there that I noticed, because again, you don't remember where I was raised. I wasn't completely naive of what was going on in the South with the marches and what have you. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't really hitting me. So, you know, it didn't bother me as much, maybe. But the first time we went into New Mexico, state of New Mexico, and this first time, and I repeated this story today, this morning when I talked to the grad school. There's three whites, two blacks. We walked into the restaurant to eat, and they refused service. We'll serve you white guys. We won't serve your friends. That was the first time it really hit me hard as a freshman, you know. What's a big deal, you know? Why? Well, we went on down the street to the next dive and went in. And I never forget what Louis Cotone, he was a white guy. He made the statement to the waiter, whoever was there, said, "Will you serve us and our friends?" And of course, Harry Flournoy, he was black, said, "You know, I'll never forget that, because not that we didn't eat and waited to find a place to eat, but he called us our friends. And that was the kind of relationship that we had on and off the floor all the way through. But I knew as time come on, I was going to have to elevate my game in order to play, because that's how good an athletes we had. And you don't win NCAA tournaments without great athletes. And at the same time, you got to have a lot of breaks to do it. Now, Coach Haskins, he was a like a drill sergeant, I might say. or they nicknamed him Bear. They didn't give him that nickname for no reason at all. But you know, the man never cursed. He never cussed you on the floor. But now he'd get in your face, he'd say, "You little girl, Mama, go get him a dress." I mean, he would just belittle you something awful. Well, what did that do? I'm going to show you I can do it. That's all it did. He knew what he was doing. He wanted to get more and more and more out of you. Constantly. Some practices, and back then, people, there was no limit of time how long you could practice. And you think about those little kill drills we ran in high school gym. Oh, man. That was a piece of cake. I remember one practice was 30 minutes long. It was the toughest one I've ever been through, and most of it was on defensive end because he was a defensive coach. But he got mad at us for some reason we didn't know. I don't know really what reason it was. He just wanted to prove a point, I guess. Maybe bring us back to earth. Maybe thought we was getting too big for our britches. I don't know, but we had to run the bleachers for 30 minutes solid. And it got to the point where I knew if I took one more step, I wasn't going to make it. That's how bad it got. We actually did not hate Coach Haskins, but we hated his practices, a lot of them. Because a lot of times he'd say, "Mo, call the cafeteria, tell them they're going to be late." And that was quite often. But you know, we learned to respect that man for what he did, what he taught us, the discipline, the leadership. Every one of our guys on our team graduated. Neville Shedd, 6'8". Black. I played behind a lot. A great person and a great Christian. He coached for several years. You know, he played pro ball until he tore his knee up. And then coached. Now he's been working with the San Antonio Spurs some camps and what have you. I tried to get him to come, but he's just been flying everywhere doing what I'm doing right here. He was up in Seattle, I think, on Tuesday or Monday, and then he was at Denver on Wednesday, and then they're going to Germany on Monday. It's coming Monday. I was supposed to go to Germany, but I felt like I had too many other things in the fire, so I declined to go over there. But everyone, Bobby Joe Hill, we lost him in 2002. He was our little guard. He was our steering wheel. He was quite successful, worked for El Paso Natural Gas Company. Harry Flournoy was a coach, teacher, and works in California. David Latin, he's in some type of business for himself in Houston. David Palacio, or a Hispanic, he's the vice president of Capitol Records. Togo Relli, coach and administrator. Les Badorn, art teacher, and retired now. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, myself, I had spent 30 years in education in the state of Missouri. Enjoyed every minute of it. So you talk about a group of guys that were quite successful, contrary to what people thought about them back in 1966. In 1966, after we won it, Coach Haskins received hate mail, buckets full of them, for playing five blacks. He even got it from some of the black leaders saying that he was exploiting the blacks. He's told me before sometimes, and that was several years ago, he said, "I almost wish we'd never won it." There was a lot of things written in magazines and in some novels, books about our team that wasn't true. Said that we were a bunch of thugs. Said that some of them didn't graduate from high school. So we got some of them from prison. You know, people can write a lot of nasty things about you that's not true. It hurt to recruit him in El Paso for quite a while, and it hurt us personally. When we won the championship, we were supposed to have got to go to the White House, to the President of the United States, meet him. We didn't get to. We were supposed to have gotten to go to the Ed Sullivan Show, for you people who know about Ed Sullivan. Yay! For you ones that don't, it's kind of an entertainment show that came on TV. If you'd like it not to have a TV. But they was always on the Ed Sullivan Show, if you remember. And we didn't get to do that either. No. And Lyndon Johnson was the president out of the state of Texas. And we worked from Texas. But due to the fact that we started five blacks, played seven blacks in a ball game, in the final game, too much of a racial risk to take. So it took 40 years, people. It took 40 years for the movie to come out that what we did was opened up the doors for people to go get an education based upon their ability, what they have upstairs and their athletic ability, rather than because they're black or white or whatever color they were. And to that, I think our team did a great job doing. I've had A.C. Green, I had Charles Valentine, I've had others that came up to me and thanked me and my team for what we did to open up the door so they can get a college education. Charles Valentine came to my house, super, super nice guy. He went on to play some pro ball too. And you know, it really makes you feel good that you're able to help someone to better themselves. And that's the whole thing about is people, we were here created equally. We're here to help each one, each person. We need to be friends with everybody. And we've gotten away from that somewhat in a lot of ways. Now, we have come a long ways in some areas, but some other areas we're going the wrong way, people. And I kind of feel sorry for some of our younger generations, because I hope and pray that they do a little bit better job maybe than what we've done. I really do. Because it's face it, people, it's not, the world's not a great place right now. We're in a lot of turmoil, and we don't know where we're going from there. But I do know what our team did, and I'm very proud to say that I was a part of it. I'm very proud to be part of the team. I was never a great basketball player. I had a role. I was more of a defensive player and a rebounder, feed the big guy inside, try to stop sometimes our best player. But each one of us on the team knew our role. In a place of business, just like your organization here, you have a leader that you need to look up to. And then you have, you know, other people out, whether different levels all the way down through your business. And if that business is running smoothly all the way down, good chemistry is a secret to any business. You got to learn to get along. People got to work together. And if you can do that, you can solve a lot of problems. And I told the class today at Liberty, one of the kids asked me, you know, are you financially rich? And I said, no. I said, oh, I'm not financially rich, but I am rich. I'm very rich. And I do have the Lord in my heart. And I've got a great family here, and I got another one, family is down there in Ozark. He coaches down there with also two grandkids. So both of them are in education. I love them dearly. And I've made a lot of friends just going around the country and getting to meet people that I haven't seen in years, since high school. You know, that's so much more important, having friends, than all the money in the world that you can make. If you don't have friends, people, you're not going to be very happy. That's just all there is to it. You're not going to be very happy. And for you young people out there, I talked about choices today. What you need to set goals, and from your goals, the choices you make from there is going to lead you down the line the way hopefully you want to go. And I remember when I was in sixth grade, my goal was to play college basketball and to coach. That's what I wanted to do. I remember that just like it was yesterday. And gosh, it don't seem like it's been that long ago. But that was my goal, and I got to do that. And then all of a sudden I had to readjust my goals because there was other things I wanted to do. So I went ahead and went into middle school administration and then high school administration. And God has truly, truly blessed me to be here to share my stories of what it was really like. And it wasn't easy for our black athletes. They had a lot of struggles, but again, they were young, 18 to 21 year olds, and they didn't take it personally. If they did, it just went off their backs because they were great people. They looked way above the racial stuff. And I admire them for that, for the courage of what it took for them. Because I heard the slang words. I saw the restaurants. And I know there was hotels and other spaces, establishments that our school hid from them. I know we couldn't play to a lot of the schools in the Southeast Conference because of our situation. I didn't know it then. But as I got older and wiser, I learned that's what happened. So I admire all my teammates, and we still get together a lot. We visit all the time, back and forth. And I think we got closer since we've been out of school than when we were athletes, to share our experiences. I brought a couple pictures here. All I ask you to do, maybe I'll leave it up here. There's only about 60 or 70 copies of this. This is a color print of the team with their autograph on it. If you like, you can come by up here, and I'll leave it up here where you can look at it. This was Harry Florinori taking the rebound away from Pat Riley in the Kentucky game. And that was on the front page of Sports Illustrated, first one that came out. Yeah, well, very interesting. AJ brought out a great point. After we won the championship, Pat Riley, as far as I know, was the only person from the other team, opposing team, Kentucky's team, that came over and congratulated us. That's the reason why he's where he's at today, people, with the Miami Heat, because he rose above it all.
That's right. So there was a presentation by Jerry Armstrong, member of the 1966 Texas Western team, and it was great being able to listen to his presentation last week. My whole family was there, my wife was there, and our three-year-old daughter was there as well, and we had the opportunity to go up and talk to Mr. Armstrong a little bit after the presentation, and I took a picture with him and put that up on the blog. But just a great night to kind of listen to someone that really lived through an historic event in American history. As always, if you'd like to contact me at Speaking of History, you can send an email to speakingofhistory@gmail.com or go ahead and check out the blog and you can leave a comment on the post. Our blog is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. And the next podcast, podcast number 67, will be the question and answer session with Mr. Armstrong after his presentation. He'll talk a little bit about some comparisons between the movie and real life and a little bit about their championship run. So if you found this podcast interesting, go ahead and check back and look at number 67, and it'll be a follow-up to the presentation you just heard. Well, thanks a lot for listening to Speaking of History. We'll talk again soon. Thanks. The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.